This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Bullying is not a new problem, but it seems to become more serious. It's happening as much among girls as it is boys, and it's gone digital. We're going to talk about bullying and some new programs to recognize and reduce the problem. Joining me are University of Cincinnati Director of Research and Evaluation, Dr. Keith King, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center Statistician, Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics, Dr. Ryan Adams, and psychologist Lori Burns with the Northwest Local School District. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
So I came up with some questions, and of course we put the question out on Facebook if people have anything, put the topic out if they have anything they'd like to ask. And one person that wrote in, Dana, and I came up with the very first same question. And Keith, I think we'll start with you. Define bullying. What is it?
Well, I think when you look at bullying, and Lori can obviously speak to this in the schools, it really is... it could be verbal threatening, it could be intimidating, it could also be indirect, making other individuals feel uncomfortable and just kind of chipping away at them. And, the old way of bullying oftentimes has gone by the wayside. I mean, it still is happening, but now we're seeing more and more digital bullying and social media bullying where individuals, our students, are jumping on some of the Facebook sites and those types of things and really kind of making harmful statements towards others, ridiculing them, those types of things, so that others jump on and chip away at their self-esteem.
Sometimes, though, we think about bullying in terms of having a hierarchy, like one kid might be stronger than the other, whether that's social strength or physical strength, but that sometimes makes us sort of forget about some of these more nuanced forms of bullying, like the Facebook stuff or calling people names. You don't really have to have power over someone to be able to do some of these forms of things, what we call bullying. Sometimes we use the term peer victimization. I might say that today, just because we're not always talking about these hierarchies.
Sometimes exclusion is a form that you see with kids at school. Groups of kids may leave somebody out. It can be kind of subtle or it can be direct.
Yeah, and that's sometimes the most difficult forms to sort of deal with, especially with girls, is these forms that, as adults we might not always see. They're not always so obvious. And, when we work with administrators and teachers and school psychologists like Lori, these are the types of sort of bullying and peer victimization that they find the most difficult to deal with because it's not always happening right in front of them. So a lot of times people are like, well, what do we do about this? How can we deal with these things?
You brought up a lot of different things that all count as bullying. But I think a lot of people have trouble distinguishing what's a bully versus someone who is just mean. Or is that the same thing? Because you hear about the mean girl situation all the time. I've witnessed it where some kids are just mean. Does that mean they're automatically a bully?
Well, I mean, maybe it might be a better way to think about it is I think we miss the sight sometimes when we want to label kids as bullies or not bullies, because a lot of the kids that are doing these mean things, oftentimes, there's reasons behind it. And sometimes they're the ones that's also getting. So we know that a big chunk of kids who are doing what we call bullying, they're also the ones that are targeted for bullying a lot of times. So sometimes we want to think that there's this a meek child versus a very powerful child. But a lot of times the kids that are getting the worst of it, not always, but oftentimes they're also doing some of these things. So sometimes we might look the other way because we say, oh, they might deserve that because they were kind of mean to this kid over here. But it doesn't help anybody to sort of kind of forget those kids.
Keith?
I think that's a great point. And instead of labeling kids as bullies or, the victims or those that are bullied, really focusing on the behaviors. So what are the behaviors? What are appropriate behaviors? What are inappropriate behaviors? Because there is this sense of it's just a myth that, well, this child over here is the big kid. So obviously this one is the bully and you have a small child over here. There's no way that he or she could be the bully. And then that enters into the whole issue. Well, we know that boys bully and girls don't, which is completely false. And so I think it's just a complete focus on the actual behaviors, what is appropriate, what's not.
Exactly, because a lot of times, especially parents and even teachers, it's difficult because, you know, we're sort of trained to sort of find out who's right or wrong rather than focusing on stopping the behaviors. So when you sort of label somebody as being this or that, you kind of get caught up in, you know, that this is kid's sort of bad and this kid's sort of the victim, and instead of focusing on, okay, these are things that are not acceptable to do. And sometimes it's easier to get kids to stop doing things when you don't sort of characterize them as something.
How serious a problem is it?
It seems to be a pretty serious problem. It's one that we've addressed over the years in multiple ways. We work at the building level. We work in smaller groups, and we also work at the individual level. So a lot of times when people think, oh, you know, my child's being bullied, that we work directly just with them. But there's really a whole series of things we have in place for the building that promote positive social behaviors. And we also have some interventions and consequences for those who aren't using positive social behaviors.
But how often do you see it? Is it happening all the time now? Is it 10% of the kids? Is it 50%?
It really depends on sort of what research you're looking at and sort of also what forms of bullying. So obviously, because we didn't have certain technologies 10 years ago, you know, electronic forms of bullying are increasing right now. And, you know, I think the research is just sort of catching up with sort of understanding why kids are doing it. But, you know, you can also look at bullying with girls. It's definitely increased over the last 10 years. You know, you have to sort of be careful of what is just more out in the media more these days. It's a topic that, for the better, has been sort of picked up by the media. But I think sometimes, I don't know how much it's the rates have increased in general that much, but I think we just might be somewhat more aware of it, which is good. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing if it's not spiked, but I think the media has helped in a lot of ways. But it also might, there might be a perception that it's happening more. We don't really know.
When you have it happening, I think it's important to sort of take a look at the varying age ranges. And I can tell stories from my daughter was 3 years old in preschool and would come home crying because the girls wouldn't play with me today. They'd only play with girls in skirts, and she wore shorts that day, you know, or something like that. I mean, does it start really? Is that bullying? Is that young? Or is that little kids playing and they're just not always friendly?
That's where it starts. That's totally where it starts. Was just actually in another meeting that we were discussing that specific issue. The developmental ages, when you start looking at the preschool ages and the kids, 3 to 5, entering into the playgroup, how they actually enter the playgroup, whether it's appropriate behavior or inappropriate behavior, you'll have some kids that will come in extremely strong and then try to go ahead and take over and act very disruptive. And then you'll have specific aggressive behaviors and quote-unquote bullying types of behaviors to go ahead and kind of get control. One thing that is very clear, underlying a lot of it, not all of it, but underlying a lot of it, is this need for this social connectedness to feel positively connected to peers and other kids their ages. So they're trying to get connected, and oftentimes they don't know how to do that. They're also trying to go ahead and feel better about themselves, and oftentimes they don't know how to do that. And if they do not have those specific skills, that can go ahead and lead into, you know, bullying types of behaviors. You move into the elementary schools, then you can see some of the elementary school types of bullying behaviors. And then in middle school, it gets a little bit more, now with social media, that's when it starts to kind of spread out that way with Facebook and, you know, with the texting. And then you go into the high schools and you see all kinds of stuff going on. So it's changing these days. There's no doubt about it. When you start to ask the kids in the schools, the vast majority know of people and friends that have been bullied, that are being bullied currently.
Do you find that you have kids coming to you when they say they have a problem, Lori, or what happens when?
Typically, kids will go to a trusted person. It could be a teacher, it could be me, it could be a guidance counselor. When we receive those reports, we report those directly to administrators. So most of our response would be top down to figure out what is going on. And then that way we deal with it on both ends. So
can you give an example of, obviously without mentioning any names or anything, but
of somebody that came to you or to a teacher, what did they say was going on?
A lot of times it's subtle or verbal at transition times between classes when the teacher isn't right next to them. And once it starts, the kids get very sensitive and really notice any kind of small cue from whoever it is. So that tends to be the type of, I'd say the majority of what goes on. There's more than that in different levels, but that tends to be your typical report.
Dr. Adams, would you say that it does tend to be sort of hidden at some extent by the time it gets to that age, where it's sort of gone underground a little bit as opposed to out there in public?
Well, there's huge gender differences in sort of a look at these different forms. So we can sort of talk about the differences, sort of what you're asking earlier, as far as age changes. And so as kids get older, they do sort of start using more subtle forms, so they won't get in trouble and things like that. But we know girls, not that boys don't do it, but girls are more likely to do these things, sort of excluding, talking behind people's backs. Boys and girls are almost equal these days on verbal, sort of direct verbal, sort of bullying and things like that. But yeah, like I think I might have said earlier, the administrators and teachers and stuff, they really have a lot of difficulty dealing with these things that are more subtle as far as excluding kids or calling kids' names behind their backs using Facebook or some of these electronic, because some of these things, especially the electronic stuff, is happening oftentimes outside of school, but then the problems come to school because of those. So I'm sure Lori can talk about those sort of things.
Yes, absolutely. We do have some situations that has occurred. We've made some changes this year where kids' access to electronic devices during school has cut down them monitoring that during the day and getting upset, but we know that it does happen outside of school, definitely.
We're talking today about bullying, how to recognize it and reduce the problem. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about bullying. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. My guest today, University of Cincinnati Director of Research and Evaluation, Dr. Keith King, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center Statistician, Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics, Dr. Ryan Adams, and psychologist Lori Burns with the Northwest Local School District. You can join the discussion by calling us at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. We talked a little bit about what bullying is and how it's detected and some of the initial contacts people have when they have been bullied and where they go. Let's talk now about the rise in what seems to be an increase in girls that are bullying and being bullied. And who's the best one to address that as far as how much girls do you think it's increased with girls?
Well, I mean, the research definitely shows over the last 10 years that there has been, if you look at total, just all the various forms of bullying, it's generally increased in all sort of phases, especially, even physical, whereas, maybe 10, 12 years ago, it would be quite low and it'd be very rare that you'd see physical victimization with girls. And that's been rising. Even though boys do it more, girls are doing it, over time have been doing it more. All across the board of different types, girls definitely, you see more of it happening today than in the past.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Amanda's calling from Liberty Township. Hi, Amanda. What's your question?
Hi, Marianne. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm actually calling because my niece she's a freshman. She's being bullied at school. And they've gone to the school authorities, guidance counselors, teachers, and it ceased for a bit, but then started right back up again, and perhaps even more intensely than it had been before. And we were wondering, has there ever been an incident where a parent or the family has gone to authorities? And if so, is that helpful in any way, shape, or form? Or how can it be dealt with so that it's, you know, it just isn't an increasing problem?
Do you all recommend that, Lori?
From my experience, there have been families in the past that have gone to the authorities, but I haven't found that to be effective long term. You know, it kind of makes the point that, you know, this can't continue. But I think legality-wise is a lot different than what you might do at school. I know at Coleraine High School, we use a building-level approach. We also get the administrators and parents involved. We work with the students directly. And I know some kids, even if you would give consequences for bullying behaviors, sometimes they don't have the social skills that they need to interact appropriately in the first place. So you can consequence it all you want, but until those skills are taught and reinforced, it typically doesn't go away.
What are some of those skills? What are some of the things you're talking about?
Some things would just be greeting people appropriately. If you want people to notice you, get a laugh. You know, things of that nature. I think sometimes kids resort to making fun of whoever is an easy target to get other people to join in. I think the other things that you can do as well is the bystanders, get them to respond differently as opposed to laughing, maybe responding in a completely different way.
That's a lot to ask a kid, though. I mean, sometimes now if you're in a room and somebody tells a joke that you know is inappropriate or racist or any of those things, it's difficult to get adults to step up and say, hey, I don't agree with that. How difficult is that with kids?
Well, the program that we have, that's one big thing we really talk to kids about. Keith sort of touched on this idea earlier. Most kids, the reason they're doing bullying is to sort of get some sort of status within the group. And if you sort of cut off that reinforcement, and laughing is, you're reinforcing that behavior. And so one way that we sort of approach it, we just tell kids, like, one of the easiest things to do is don't laugh. You don't necessarily have to go up and confront the bully or, you know, do things like that. The first thing you can do is just don't laugh when somebody says something like this. It might actually be funny, you know, but realize if you do laugh, you're only making it worse. You're only making it more likely the kid's going to do it again.
Amanda, does that help you at all?
Yeah, it did to some extent. We've tried talking with her about how she can deal with bullies, you know, ignore it. Don't let it appear as though it's bothering you. But it's really getting to her. And we were just wondering how to deal with it if we feel as though the school's not doing as much as they could to stop it. Because I'm sure she's not the only, you know, girl that these other girls are bullying.
Do you guys have any suggestions, Dr. King?
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate the comment, Amanda, because I think this is a real issue that's a very prevalent issue that's hitting a lot of individuals. And really, when you stop, first of all, the schools have to be made well aware of this. And so one thing to do, you have two different issues going on. You have the individual that's engaged in the bullying behavior. So you have that individual. And then you have the individual that is really being victimized from the bullying behavior. And so you've got two issues here. So one thing that is mentioned is, all right, what can the individual that's being victimized, what is their response? What can they do? What can they do and what can their parents do? What can the schools do to try to go ahead and prevent that bullying behavior? One thing is to go ahead and increase the awareness and let the students know that there's going to be no tolerance for bullying types of behaviors. And just as was mentioned, you know, we're not going to laugh. We're not going to promote this. We're not going to reinforce this. We're going to consistently stay on top of that. We're going to have, you know, campaigns. We're going to go and present on it. This is going to be a prevalent type of an issue that we're going to kind of go ahead and address. From the bullying behavior perspective and the youth that's involved in the bullying behavior, just as Lori mentioned, oftentimes they lack the social skills on how to go ahead and get what they want. And so most often when they want to get some type of status or they want social connection, but they don't know how to do that. So they need to be taught how to do that. And so that's where I think oftentimes many of the schools will fall short or many of the programs will fall short, is we just need to go ahead and begin teaching individuals how to interact positively with one another. And, you know, when we go out throughout the communities and throughout the schools and put on programs and, you know, kind of teach some of the youth appropriate ways to interact, one of the things that, I'm always amazed at that is lacking, not just with kids, but with adults in general, to be quite honest, is the lack of small talk skills. People do not have small talk skills, and so they don't know necessarily, you know, I want to communicate, I want to fit in, I want to connect, I don't know how. How do I do it? Well, I know if I crack some jokes or I make this person or I demean this person, maybe then this group will like me. And it's all about this like and this connection. And so teaching the kids how to go ahead and do that in an appropriate manner, communicate effectively, is extremely important.
Amanda, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you have a question or a comment. Debbie, your question is somewhat similar. What did you want to ask?
Well, I've been on both sides of this bullying situation. I have a child who was bullied, and sometimes the administration was helpful and other places the administration was not. But I've also been on the administrative side where, as adults, it's very difficult to figure out how to deal with kids who are bullying. Is there, actually, we found out that by changing the culture of the situation, attacking it head on, not giving the message that we don't accept this type of behavior, but how do we teach schools to do that? Because I know so many schools adopt a no bullying policy, but I'm not sure that adults always know what to do.
One thing that would help staff to be able to respond more appropriately is if they know right away. A lot of times we find out a week later, 3 days later, a month later, that things were going on, but it's hard to go back and figure out who was present, you know, what exactly happened, having witnesses. So if students could alert staff right away at the right moment, it could be an identified person that they asked to go see. You could slip the teacher a post-it note, I need to see Mrs. So-and-so. You know, those kinds of things would help tremendously to, you know, stop it right then and there.
It's so hard. And younger kids are willing. It's really hard in the middle school, high school years, because I think sometimes kids feel that nothing will change. And I think they are afraid that if they tell what's going on, they will be picked on even further. How do you give kids that message?
Well, what research has shown to be one of the most effective ways to reduce bullying is to get bystanders and other kids to get involved. So for every instance, for most experiences of bullying, there's, you know, a few kids who might be targeted, a few kids who might be involved being the bully, but six or seven kids see it happening. And the idea is to get those other kids to get involved, and in ways, like I said before, maybe just not laughing, but sort of creating a culture that this behavior is not acceptable. So if you ask kids, we don't need to tell kids anymore bullying is bad, stand up to bullying. What we need to do is give kids the tools to do that. So one thing that we tell if you're a bystander to do is you don't have to address the bully always, address the victim. If you ask the victim, are you okay? Is everything all right? That automatically shows the bully you don't agree with them without having to confront them, and you make the victim feel a lot better. Those are sort of some of the more simple ways. Each instance of bullying is very complex, and why certain kids do it and why certain kids were targeted. But, you know, I think really starting with a culture of showing kids what bullying looks like and ways that they can, specific things that they can do to address it, because that's what we've asked kids. Research has asked them, you know, what should you do about bullying? And kids, oftentimes, they don't know what to do. They want to do something, but they don't know how to address it.
Debbie, thanks for your call. Our number is 513-419-7100. We've talked a lot about kids who have been bullied and helping them and giving them power and others that are watching. What do you do if you're the parent of the bully? Dr. King?
Well, I think, excuse me, I think one thing that that should be addressed is bullying oftentimes is very, the way it's approached and the way it's addressed is very reactive. So the bullying behavior is occurring. And so now what do we do after the fact, much like with depression or with suicide or self-cutting or those types of things? What do we do after this has occurred. And so I think one effective approach would be to go on the offense and start to promote positive communication skills, positive social skills. So if you are a parent and you have a child, teaching them the, you know, positive coping skills, positive social skills, communication skills, et cetera, that goes into the schools as well. Now, if you have a child that is engaging in bullying behaviors, it has to be called out right away and then kind of followed up with, this is what's appropriate. This is the appropriate way to go ahead and communicate. And talking kid talk would be, you know, if you want to fit in, this is what kids would really like. They really like it when you do this. They really like it when you interact this way, when you communicate this way. Appropriate types of modeling, if you will. And that's very, very important.
There's also a whole other group of kids that there we can think about bullying being very sort of proactive, like I'm trying to get something, so I am going to do this certain behavior. But some kids are who do bullying are very reactive. And so sometimes they're reacting to maybe something that wasn't a slight, but they saw it as a slight. Or
so they're just sensitive.
Yeah, they sort of overreact. And those sort of kids, they're going to have problems all across the board, maybe in school with their schoolwork because they can't pay attention. All across the board, they're going to have problems probably with their teacher. Their teacher probably not going to be their, you know, the student's not going to be their favorite person. So sometimes those kids, you know, they need special attention in terms of just self-control and things like that.
Lydia's calling from Price Hill. Hi, Lydia. What's your question?
Hi. Yeah, I actually have a couple now after listening to the conversation. First of all, how do you handle when a child just simply does not like another child? I think sometimes we have this unrealistic expectation of children, especially really young, that everyone should get along, everyone should play together, everyone should like each other. But I kind of feel like that's unrealistic, even as an adult. You know, we don't have certain things in common with other, you know, with people. And so this kind of expectation to like, and then, you know, to like everyone. But then also, how do we deal with the sensitivity, like we were kind of talking about, like someone had mentioned, oh, the one child had shorts, the other had dresses. And then maybe the child in the shorts was just feeling sensitive because they didn't have a dress on too. That child wasn't wearing a dress. So how do you deal with that? And
let's let him answer. Dr. Yeah. Adams, you want to start with that one?
Maybe the first point about, you know, disliking, maybe it's not even disliking, but I think point maybe you're getting at here is, especially younger kids, they see things very black and white, right? So if you're not my friend, then you must be my enemy. And I think that's one point you can sort of maybe talk with kids about, is that just because you might not get along with that person or you might not want to play with them doesn't mean you need to be mean to them or those sort of things. As we get older, as kids get on into high school, there's less of that. There's more nuance in their thinking and they can sort of understand that, you know, we can be all parts of different groups and things like that. Not that it doesn't happen, but I think some of these things might kids sort of grow out of a little bit. But I think maybe that might be a better approach to sort of get at this issue of, well, just because you don't want to play with them doesn't mean that you have to dislike them, I think.
I think sometimes, too, you have to look at it as a life skill issue. Even as we grow into adulthood, you might work at a location that, you know, you got favorite coworkers, maybe people that you don't agree with some of the things they do, but we all have to behave civilly. We all have to cooperate, even if we don't particularly care for one another. And I think you could approach it as a vocational skill in that sense. So there's a purpose to learning it. That's one way of looking at it.
Thanks so much for your call, Lydia. We appreciate it. Lisa is calling from Clifton. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just wanted to clarify, I heard some doubt as to whether girl bullying is new or not. It is not. It is prevalent and has been around for a long time. I'm 46 and I was bullied incessantly. But how do you just go in and say, well, she poked me? You know, a lot of the times girls didn't say anything. It's noticeable now because girls maybe aren't even complaining, but it's on social media so much. And I mean, quite frankly, you can trace it all the way back to Salem, Massachusetts, if you don't need another example. because that was girl bullying, if you really look into the situation.
Dr. King?
No, you're correct. I mean, female bullying has been around for a long, long time. Obviously, as you trace this through history, which we may not have the specific time to go into that in depth, but if you trace it through history, females now are more assertive, obviously. And with that, as was mentioned, it has been around. However, female teen violence has absolutely increased dramatically. Female teen bullying is on the rise. It's being detected more often. And now, with really the kind of the introduction to with social media and those types of things, the teenagers especially can go ahead and get involved in more of the subtle types of and forms of bullying. And when you get into the literature and you look at the research, the females are significantly more likely to go ahead and engage in the more subtle forms of bullying, like talking behind one another's backs, gossiping, the whole Mean Girls situation, that whole that movie. When that movie came out, it was interesting. We were doing a study up in the greater Columbus area, actually, and it was on respect. And we went through a variety of schools asking kids about what does respect mean to them, what does disrespect mean, and why is there so much violence going on and bullying going on with kids these days. They went on and on and on about, you know what, it all has to do with disrespect and not feeling like I fit in. I need to fit in. I need to feel connected. And with that, you know, we asked, well, what can we do? What can kids do? And the bottom line they came out with was just amazing, that they consistently said, well, we have to go ahead and make sure that we teach others how to treat others the way that we would like to be treated, and consistently do that throughout the schools. But you're right, it's been around for a long time.
Lisa, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking today about bullying. We'll continue the discussion in just a moment. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We continue our discussion of bullying. My guests today are University of Cincinnati Director of Research and Evaluation, Dr. Keith King, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center Statistician, Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics, Dr. Ryan Adams, and psychologist Lori Burns with the Northwest Local School District. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email us talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll get to more calls in just a moment. Dr. Adams, you have done a lot of research in this and have come up with a guide to help people, especially girls, dealing with bullying. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? And I'll let you all know that we do have a link to this guide on our website, wvxu.org. Go to the Cincinnati Edition page.
Yeah. Procter & Gamble, and specifically the secret brand at Procter & Gamble, they were very interested in this idea of girls bullying, and they came to me and my colleagues and sort of said, we want to do something about it. What would be an idea? And we came up with this idea that what you see out there as far as anti-bullying campaigns and sort of interventions oftentimes are directed at a large school level, and it's hard for an individual teacher, parent, or student sort of have access to comprehensive information. So what we did is we took all the information we could find out there as far as sort of from studies that have been shown to work, and we tried to sort of incorporate it in a way to where girls could use that information and learn about bullying, not just how to deal with it, but how to deal with it if you're a bystander. Ideas like, there's a lot of bullying we talked about today that's very subtle, and a lot of times girls don't even know that it is bullying. So we show them what it looks like, how to deal with it. Also on the website, we have a lot of, we have a manual for parents. So how, if they wanted to sit down with their daughters and go through it, but it also has sort of tips on how they can sort of, a lot of the ideas that we talked about today are in black and white right there on how to deal with schools, how to deal with teachers, how to deal with your daughter. That's a very difficult thing, because you can get, you know, very, it's an emotional issue for parents. So we talk about how to sort of like calm down, and how to do that, how to approach your daughter about these issues.
So that's for parents and for the students.
And also we have a manual there for teachers, too. So if teachers wanted to use it in their classroom, there's very specific steps on how to use it, and also very specific steps for how teachers might deal with bullying themselves.
And that, again, is on our website. It's the Girl's Guide to Bullying.
Girl's Guide to End Bullying.
Girl's Guide to End Bullying. Yes. Yeah, I guess that we wouldn't want a guide to... Never mind. Girl's Guide to End Bullying. It's on our website, WVXU.org. You'll find it on the Cincinnati Edition page. Libby is calling from Mount Auburn. Hi, Lily. Libby, what's your question?
I actually just have a comment. So, granted, I'm 36, so I did not grow up with Facebook. I was a fat kid, bad skin, bad hair, bad clothes, you name it, and I was bullied or teased or whatever you want to call it, beyond belief. And the way my mom and dad taught me was that the popular kids are picking on you, you're doing something right because you're being yourself. And now as an adult, I am my own person. I don't follow the societal norms. I live my life honestly by who I am. And there's always going to be mean people, and you have to be okay with yourself. So part of me really feels like we're doing a little bit of over-coddling instead of teaching our kids to stand up and to, you know, deal and recognize that that's part of life and they're okay. Trying to stop behavior that's just going to happen when we're adults. And certainly there are extremes that are too far and should be intervened, but the day-to-day teasing really just teaches you how to be an adult, and I can take my comments off the air.
Thanks a lot, Libby. Dr. Adams?
Yeah, you're right in some ways, and I don't want anybody to sort of think that we think that everybody's going to hold hands and be friends and that there aren't going to be any negative experiences, and there's a lot of negative experiences that we learn from. But, you know, what we're talking about here in terms of even the behavior they had directed towards you, I think you probably could have been the same self-assured person and learned a lot of these lessons with a lot less of the bullying that happened to you. So it's not that it's one or the other, that the only way to learn these lessons is the hard way. But I think also we're not saying, you know, these are kids. They are going to say mean things to each other. It's really what the issue is here is, you know, are they happening often, and how sort of serious is each instance? So a kid punching another kid in the face, that's probably needs to be dealt with. Another kid maybe saying something mean once, you know, that probably shouldn't happen, but it's going to happen. So I don't think anybody here on the panel is going to say that, you know, all negative peer experiences are should be wiped out. That's just not going to happen. And you're right. We do a lot of, in our guide, what we do is we talk about how to deal with these negative things that do happen in an appropriate manner. So it's not always going to tell the teacher. It can be going, how do you go to your friend and talk about it? How are you a good friend to your friend that might be bullied? So yeah, there's a lot of different ways. And I think we do learn a lot from the experiences.
What are the long-term effects of bullying? We talk about, you know, and we had the caller that just talked about she was bullied and she feels she's stronger for it. Do people that were bullied in grade school and middle school and high school, how does that affect them when they become adults? Dr. King?
There's wide variability on that, and there's ongoing longitudinal studies to go ahead and assess that right now. But, you know, different individuals will respond differently. Now, with kids, when they are being bullied, they are at elevated risk for a variety of negative health behaviors, risky behaviors. They're going to respond some way. And so oftentimes when you see kids that are bullied consistently, they're at increased risk for depression, for suicide, for self-injurious types of behaviors. Oftentimes you also might see them at risk for substance use, for eating disorders, for anxiety disorders, for a lot of different problems. Because they're struggling with how to deal with this.
We've heard cases of suicide.
There are cases of suicide, absolutely. And we've seen in the press recently, you know, we've seen several cases of individuals that were bullied and that had contributed to chips away at their self-esteem and them not feeling good about themselves, them feeling depressed, helpless, hopeless. This is never going to end. I don't know what to do with it. And that can lead into suicide attempts and suicide. So, you know, when you really look at all the way into suicide prevention, if you want to go on the proactive side and try to prevent that from occurring in the first place, you will go all the way before they start thinking about it and try to go ahead and say, all right, well, what is actually contributing to this? And I think just like Ryan was mentioning, you know, one of the things with the bullying types of behaviors is if an individual is being bullied, and just like the previous caller mentioned that she was bullied, we're not saying, well, you know, just go ahead and absorb it. We want to go ahead and teach youth how to respond in an assertive, appropriate manner as compared to aggressive, where you're going to fight the kid, or passive aggressive, which is most often what happens. People are passive aggressive and they will not respond assertively because it's difficult to confront an issue. So we're trying to go ahead and teach youth how to respond assertively.
Ben's calling from Milford. Hi, Ben. What's your question?
Yes, hi. It's more of a comment. In my experience, most of bullying, it wasn't directed by a certain few individuals, but rather a group of people just trying to keep themselves from getting bullied. They'd go ahead and point out a flaw to somebody else in the group and sort of to roll the group's ire onto them just as a means more of survival. Granted, I was in a different environment. I was at a boarding school for high school, but that's really what I saw the most of it and really is the most damaging, I thought.
Thanks for your call, Ben. Laura, you wanted to add something.
One thing that we do is to empower kids who are victims of bullying. We often do remind them that we can't control everything somebody else says or does at all times, but what we can do is have total control over how we respond to it. So a lot of times I will share tools with students on how to do that. I know the kids have really loved Dr. Ryan Adams' website. So there's a lot of great tips on there, and there's videos. So just anything that we can do to let the kids know that they have complete control over how they respond, and we'll give them the tools.
Yeah, and we also talk a lot about having kids, you know, go tell somebody about it. It's not necessarily about getting somebody in trouble. It's about, you know, oftentimes the adult or, you know, your friend can reframe that instance where it's not necessarily about you, but it's the problem is with the bully. And that's really sort of helps self-confidence and things like that.
Carl's calling from Northeast Ohio. Hi, Carl. What's your comment or question?
Hi. I guess I would like to ask probably a sort of naive question. One of the things that I never hear discussed as a viable option is having the kid stand up for himself or herself. And I'd like to share briefly my experience. As I was raised, my parents were very aware that bullying existed, and they instructed me that you don't do this. You don't pick on a kid smaller than you. You don't hit girls. You know, the typical things that you hear. But they also told me that if somebody, you have the right to fight back in an appropriate manner.
What do you all think? I mean, we're running short on time, Carl, so I'm going to stop here just to get a reaction. What do you all think? Is fighting back ever the right thing to do?
Being assertive and being aggressive are two different things. And so oftentimes, you know, you hear this fighting back idea, but I think there is a large role as far as being assertive against a bully. But being aggressive often only makes the cycle get worse, and it rarely, you know, solves anything. But being assertive, standing up to the bully and standing your ground, that's different. And we do talk to girls about being assertive, but not being aggressive.
Carl, thanks so much for bringing that up. We appreciate it. We're talking about bullying this afternoon on Cincinnati Edition, and this is from Kristen, who emailed a question. She said she was a mean girl in school. She had an abusive father, and she was just mimicking what she saw in the home. She says no one's really talked about that. Do you find that often is the case, that this behavior comes from what these kids see at home?
Yeah, there's a lot of research that shows, there's some research that shows that these early sort of experiences with your family, especially in terms of aggression, where you sort of, your family is aggressive and you sort of learn to get what you want through aggression. So a lot of times, when you're young, you fight back against your parents, but oftentimes they back down because you're a child. Well, that only teaches you you get what you want by being aggressive. You go to school, you do the same thing. You sort of aggressive to other kids, you get what you want. So, there is some research that does show that is the case. And I think this is just sort of an example of that.
Elizabeth's calling from Blue Ash. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi there. I just wanted to speak for a minute on the issue of discernment. I try to teach my seventh grade son. It used to be that, you know, we never put anything in writing that we didn't want the world to know, and certainly not to put any pressure on the victims, but more along the lines of being proactive, as you were speaking about earlier. Just something that I try to reinforce is maintaining private things private. School, like you said before, is like a work environment. It's a corporate environment, and we have to kind of use our judgment as to who is going to be trustworthy to hear what we have to say versus the people who are going to try to use it against us. So that was just another strategy that I try to use in a proactive manner.
Okay, Elizabeth, thanks so much for your call. We appreciate that. We go now to Angela in Mainville. Hi, Angela.
Hi. I was actually just calling. I am recently, I'm actually in the middle of dealing with an experience. My six-year-old son went to a school, and we found out he was being bullied, both physically and verbally. And the faculty was trying to, like, hide it, I guess, and not deal with it. And when we started investigating, it turned out that there was this, like, one kid that was, like, ringleader, and he had a whole huge group of kids he was teaching to bully at, you know, between ages 6 and 8. And they were bullying a bunch of other kids, a bunch of other families came forward. So once we realized, unfortunately, that, you know, the school was not going to be able to protect our children because they were not, you know, enforcing like a zero tolerance thing, a lot of us have had to pull our children out of that school, which is a shame. But one of the things that really struck me odd, because, you know, as experiencing this as a parent, I'm thinking, what can I do to try and help, you know, prevent this? One of the things that struck me odd is the director told me that one of the parents of one of the bullies had actually said to the director, well, can you talk to my son about the bullying, because I don't know if I'm the right person to do it. And I'm thinking, you know, we're doing right by teaching the kids how to protect themselves, defend themselves, you know, go tell somebody right away. But maybe we also need to be focusing on the parents doing their responsibilities.
Laura, I'm gonna stop because we're running out of time. Lori?
Okay. There's a lot of information out there for parents that want to talk to their kids. There's all kinds of literature out there. The website as well gives some tips and pointers on that. I think your main thing is you can do what you can do at home. I know there's a lot of programs out there that staff do involve themselves in how to respond. So if you're not liking the response that you get, I think I would go back and talk about more specifically of what it is that you're most concerned about and how we can prevent it in the future. And I think if you approach it with that question, you would get a better response.
Angela, thank you so much for your call. Sherry's calling from Union Township. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, I'm just calling because I've been getting frustrated because I heard the call a little while ago talking about coddling. Are we coddling kids? I don't see that to be the case. What I think is more adults just in the community and parents and everybody needs to say no. When they see it happening, they need to say no. These are children. I have a daughter with a mild autism spectrum disorder, and a couple of years ago, she likes to walk in our neighborhood. She was being terrorized by 3 teenage, underage girls, and she didn't tell me for a while until it finally escalated, and they had put their hands on her, and they were filming her, and we were in this weird place because she was a grown adult, they were underage, she didn't go to school with them, and when I called the police and tried to make a police report, well, one of the girls that was doing the terrorizing was the daughter of a police officer in another jurisdiction, so there was no report made. So when I decided to go forward with a restraining order, everyone, I mean, I called MRDD, all different places were telling me, oh, do you really want to do that? Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, it was the smartest move we ever made.
Sherry, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. A couple calls we didn't get to, and I apologize for that. Thank you all for being here. Ryan, Dr. Adams, your guide is on our website, link to it anyway, wvxu.org on the Cincinnati Edition page. It's a pleasure to have you all here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having
Thanks.
Us.
And thank you for joining us. We've been talking today about bullying. My guests were University of Cincinnati Director of Research and Evaluation, Dr. Keith King, Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center Statistician, Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics, Dr. Ryan Adams, and psychologist Lori Burns with the Northwest Local School District. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. Our engineering staff is Don Danko, Bill Dean, and Mike McInich. We also had help today from Kevin Reynolds.